Libra,
my name is Tracy.
Gemini, my name is Marcy.
Libra, Tracy.
Gemini, Marcy.
We're a Libra and a Gemini. We're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini. Hey, we're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini. Right. We're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini.
Everybody, welcome to this episode of A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast.
Welcome, y'all.
So, before we jump into the show, I just want to say it's my birthday. It's my birthday. I mean, it's not really my birthday. It's my birthday
month.
Okay, Tracy, don't get an attitude. It's my birthday. It's my birthday
month.
So, y'all gonna be hearing this every week. It is my birthday month. And I actually don't believe in birthdays. I believe in the anniversary of my birth. Because you're only born once. So, with that said, Tracy girl, how was your week this last week?
It was good. I got a chance to hang out with some friends I hadn't seen since before December last year.
Okay.
So, we went out to Whittier. And I hung out with Marianne and Hilda and Cliff. And we went out to... And... Alex and her partner, and we went out to like brunch. It's like a brunch on a Saturday, but it's, I guess they call it brunch on a Saturday. Usually I thought brunch was on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the place was called Mimosa. It was really good.
What city was it in?
Whittier.
Okay.
And then we went to an antique store called King Richard's Antiques.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, this place is massive. They had one, two, three, four. It seemed like they had four or five levels of...
Just antiques?
Yes.
Where
like,
was it?
It's in Whittier. Like, it's in Whittier.
Tell Marla. She loves antiques.
Girl. But they had a lot of stuff. It was bringing back memories for a lot of us. Like, they just had so much stuff.
Because stuff is so old.
You know what?
So it brought back memories. You know?
Talk about stuff that my mom had. Like, they had, like, you remember those iridescent, like, cups and saucers? They were different colors. My mom had, like, an orange one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, iridescent, like, almost like milk glass, but iridescent.
I don't think so.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
But they had stuff like that. I was like, oh, my God, my mom
was
used to have that.
Was it expensive?
Some of the stuff was expensive.
Yeah.
Like, there was this thing that I liked that I wanted, like, where you can... Marcy, you would have loved it. It's, like, these thin drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they used to put... maybe paper in there or like, what do you call those? Like for architects, maybe they use it for that. I don't know. This thing was damn near
$3,000. $3,000?
Yes. I was like, that's a little bit too expensive for
that.
But that's... they really had some nice wood pieces. Oh my God, Marcy, they had beautiful pieces there.
Okay. King Richard's.
It's called King Richard's and it's massive.
I'm about to tell Marla because she is the antique queen.
And tell her to go early because you will spend, I think we spent like 2 hours in there but they kicked us out because we closed it down.
Oh, okay.
But it was a lot of people in there too, but it was really good spending time. So it was a nice time. How was your week?
My week was good. I finally got my bead cart. And what that is a cart that houses all my beading stuff, like, you know, the stuff I use, the tools I use to make jewelry and wire wrap and clip and scissors and glue and beads and string and wire and hooks.
All the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles. It's all now on an officially one cart that has wheels on it.
Yay.
And my life has been made easier.
Yes.
But I didn't fit all my stuff on it. I still have other stuff.
Do you need another cart?
I probably need another cart, but will I get one? Probably not.
Oh,
so I think I'm going to transition the stuff that I had in my little roller bag to the cart, which is what I did. And then, like, the stuff that's left over was there was two more. I have two more containers of beads. Mm-hmm. And then the stuff, like, that I ship with, like the stickers and the mm-hmm. bags and the mm-hmm. sage and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably put that stuff in the bag now. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. instead of going in bags and digging for, you know, I'm finally organized and it feels so good. And it's not even completely done. So when later today, this evening, I will probably finish and do that.
Yes.
So that was my weekend. My week was good. Just work, you know. I typically don't really do too much
during the week.
Yeah, I just work and, you know, I'm trying to get healthy. So been walking kilo more, and then Wednesdays I work out with a girlfriend in the gym here. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna start walking him in the morning. So yeah, my week was good though. I'm starting to get back to feeling normal.
Good.
So with that, let's get on with the show.
Yes, 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 yes.
And now, the Love Vibration.
So you guys, welcome to Love Vibration. Today's question we have, being a woman that is independent, taking care of everything myself for a very long time, now in a committed relationship, how do I let this man in my life lead? This is hard for me to do, and I see it may not be good for the growth of the relationship as I see and feel him pulling back some. I have asked others about this, but I would like your take on this as well. The only thing I can say about that is you got to kind of sit back, and with his strengths, like even though you know you can do it or you have done it, allow him to do it. Like if it's something that you can fix or something you can take care of or something you can do, just allow him to do it. I know that it's hard for, because men, from what I know, men want to feel needed.
Yeah.
You know, and letting them lead is like, to me, it's not hard. Like, you know, I don't mind a man leading if he's doing it properly. Don't try to control the whole situation and treat, because some men look at leading, not all men, but I've heard different people talk about when they're talking about leading that they are the ones that take care of everything. They do everything, you do what I say, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's not leading to me.
No, it's not.
That's dictating what you want. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with that. You also could like make suggestions to him, like, you know, maybe you can do it this way and see, you know, because that's a growing opportunity for him and you, mm-hmm. because maybe he can teach you something that you didn't know in regards to that situation, mm-hmm. and you can teach him something, mm-hmm. but suggesting it to him instead of telling him, because I know a lot of men do not like to be told stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but suggesting it and, you know, allowing him to do it, I think they would accept that a little bit better than being told.
I agree.
You know, also, like, I know being an independent woman for a long time, because mm-hmm. you take care of things. So if you want something done, and say, for instance, this is something minute, but it happens. Say, for instance, you want your guy to take out the trash, let's say. Usually when you want that done, you go do it, and if you're asking your guy to do it, you want it done in that moment, mm-hmm. because of whatever reason. But a lot of times, because you're telling him to do that, he ain't gonna want to do it in that moment. Mm-hmm. He'll wait and wait and wait and see, and that frustrates you, mm-hmm. because it's like, how come you can't just do that, right? So I don't know if it's all in the way you ask him to do it or what, but then you end up doing it yourself, and then you mm-hmm. get frustrated and mad at, you know what I'm saying? So all I can say about that is sit back and allow him to lead in some areas. You got to kind of just let it happen. I know that's hard though, especially when you've been on your own a long time and you can do a lot of the stuff.
True.
What do you feel about that, Miss Lady?
Well, I feel attacked right now because of the trash comment, because that was me.
Oh, I was like, why do you feel attacked though?
You just attacked me. You were talking about me. No, I'm just kidding. No, because I could remember with the last relationship I was in, I would do the same thing. I'd put the trash by the door and be like, can you take the trash out? And he'd be like, yeah, I'll take it. an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and the person's still sitting here drinking a beer, watching the game while the trash is smelling up the whole house. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just take it. And then when I come back, he'd be like, I was going to take it, but you know, it wasn't in my time. And I get that that's kind of controlling in a way, but I don't like my house stinking.
Right.
And I don't want to put the trash outside because to me that's kind of ghetto to like just have it sitting in front of the door, you know? So I was just like, so how I remedied that was, okay, he's just not going to do it. So like, you know, he'll do it when he's ready. So I'll just do it. I'll just continue doing it. Humility and humbling yourself is the first two things, I think. Well, first thing, because it's the same thing. And then the next one, a lot of women are not going to agree with, but I would say submission. Like if you want him to lead, then you have to be submissive in a way to allow him to lead. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because the example that I have been set. So my mother, the strongest woman in the world to me, just like I'm sure everybody would say about their mothers. And rightfully so. Women do a lot. They carry the load.
Yes, they do.
Especially my mom. Like, I aspire to be a tenth of what she is to me, my brother, and my daughter, and my dad. But she also knows her role, if you get what I'm saying. So she knows how far to go. And then she knows, okay, well, Curtis is the man of the house and the head and the leader and the this and the that. So I can only go up to this line and then it's on him.
Right.
So an example might be, we want to do something. We want to go somewhere. Let's just say as we were kids and mom, we want to go here. We want to go here. Okay. Yeah, we can go. But if my dad said no, that's what it is. So she allowed him to be the man in that instance. And regardless of, we wanted to go to McDonald's for dinner, he said, no, we're not doing that. So that was what it was.
Right.
And my dad also, he played the role as well. So they were a great team, is where he knew when to step in and put his foot down. Even right now today.
Right.
We know, like, we go to mom mostly for everything. Mom this, mom we need help, mom that. We go to dad for certain things too. But at the end of the day, my dad has the last word,
right?
Period. And there's no other discussion. There's no going behind his back to mom because she's not going to override what he says.
Right.
It's just what it is. So it would be the same thing in this relationship with your man. Like, you want him to be the leader and you just need to submit a little bit. You need to, yeah, you've been independent, but independent, you were one. Now there's two.
Yes.
So you have to share that load. Yeah. And that's going to be a little tough for you. But you, if you want it, you're going to do it.
That's true.
You just have to change your mind and allow him to be the man. And then when he's not doing something the way you want it done, don't say it like that. Like, well, that's not how I want it done. Like I was saying, because that's what Marcy was saying. I don't want it done in an hour. I want it done now. You know, so then I just got to the point where that's just going to make him not do it. So let me just do it myself. You know what I'm saying? And then it gets to a point where it's like, well, why is he even? I can do that by myself.
I know where you're going with that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you can't, if there's no give and take.
Right.
Then you need to look at the relationship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
that's not what
that.
Her question was. So let me not digress. Her question was, how do I basically allow him to lead, when
right.
I am so independent?
Yeah.
Change your thoughts, sis.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be a little bit submissive and let the man take the head and lead. You know, let him carry you a little bit.
And that's why I said with suggestions, like if you see that, okay, that's not going to work, right? But, you know, sometimes we know that it's not, but that's where the suggestion part comes in instead of telling him, because it's like you still want him to do it so he can, you know, lead in that area. But then you kind of suggest like, well, maybe if we, what about if we do it like this? Or have you thought about maybe trying it this way and see, you know, how that works and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah.
And
Go ahead.
My brother.
Uh-oh.
My brother, he's married. He's been married for 8 years. I believe he's been with his wife 12 years total, married for 8.
Okay.
And you know, Brian, yeah. he's like the nicest person yes, in the world.
He is.
Super calm, super sweet, doesn't really argue, just a really, really, really calm, funny person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sometimes that his wife is the head because of how her temperament mm-hmm. is and the things that she does. And I think, you know, even like in my parents' relationship, I feel like my mom may be the head in certain situations.
Now, that I do agree with.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their strengths.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother will be like, you guys think I'm weak. And it's not. He just likes to choose his battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like he told me, when I have to put my foot down, I put my foot down. I just don't like to. So also keep that in mind. You may have a man that's like that. Maybe that's not his thing. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. He just likes to lay back and allow things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when he has to, he will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So be cautious about that, or conscious about that as
right.
well.
That's true too.
No yeah. shade, Brian. You know, I love you. I love you.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully that helps a little bit, because I mean, it's been a while for me too. So it's kind of hard. Like, I don't even know how I would be right now. Shut up. What is that supposed to mean? You should have seen her perching her lips and giving me that side eye look.
Mm-hmm.
What is that supposed to mean?
It don't mean nothing.
But seriously, I don't know how I would be in a relationship. I mean, I think I would let him lead. I think I would. You don't think I would?
I think you would in certain instances. What if he wanted to eat a hamburger, a double cheeseburger with some grilled
onions? Well, that's his business.
And bacon, and you want to cook it on your brand new skillet.
No.
Straight up, no.
I mean, hopefully we eat the same way now.
What if you don't?
But if we don't, no, he would have to have his separate, and I know that sounds crazy, y'all, but I mean, I don't eat meat, so I don't want that meat juice embedded in my stuff.
I'm the same way, though.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
My ex had his own
yeah.
set of stuff.
Yeah.
And then one time he cooked it in mine. I was like, you can have it, after I told him, do not use this square skillet. The square one is mine. The round one is yours. He used the square one anyway.
Oh, man. See, I would have been very upset about that.
I was. I'm like, you can have this shit.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like you're not taking into consideration what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking into consideration what you're doing. That's why I bought this separately for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not taking me into consideration. That's not cool.
No.
And that's another thing in regards to what her question is like. Remember what I said earlier. Leading is not him telling you what to do all the time, like, and wants you to shut up and not say anything. That's not always leading.
Mm-mm.
No.
That's not leading at all.
At all. That's true. At all. It's like, don't tell me to shut up and not say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have my own mind, my own thoughts. You yeah. know what I mean? That's why I was saying some men feel that leading is just taking completely over and you do what I say, period.
No.
No, it doesn't work like that, brothers.
No.
It doesn't work like that. You guys, women are there to help the man, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We'll allow you to lead, but we'll help you. But don't sit there and try to control everything, because some men get it confused. Submissive is being, you do everything I say. Being the lead is you doing everything I say. No, brothers, no. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm repeating it, but I wanted to get it in your ear. That's not what it's all about.
To me, leading is like, at the end of the day, like, you're teaching me something.
Yes.
You're showing me something.
Yes.
When it comes down to decisions, you have the ultimate last say.
Yes.
Like, you're going to listen to what I'm saying, and I'm going to give you why we should or should not mm-hmm. do this. But at the end of the day, if I'm allowing you to lead, or if we are agreeing that you are the head and mm-hmm. you're leading, then we agree to this is what it is.
Right.
And that's been the example that I've had in my mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my parents, to me,
mm-hmm.
their relationship is beautiful. I mean, you know, everybody ain't perfect.
Right.
I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No, right. But none of us are.
Right.
But their relationship, to mm-hmm. me, is.
Because of how it's the give and take of yeah. the relationship.
Because my dad also knows when my mom wouldn't allow my mom to lead in certain things. You know, like she's the one that takes care of
exactly,
you know, the bill paying and the money and travel situations. Right. And, you know, he's always been like the breadwinner and the end all be all for all decisions in the house. And if there's a problem that needs to be solved, he'll go handle it, you know. So you just have to know the strengths of each
and
person.
That's what I was going to say. In ending, that's basically it.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to allow you to have your strengths and show them and like execute them, just like you need to let him have his strengths and, you know, and show them and execute them. Even if you know how to take care of it, let him do it. Mm-hmm. Because now you're in that committed relationship. Mm-hmm. Like you said, now there's two. I don't know if you guys live together or not. So I know it's different when you live together than when you don't live together. It might be I'll a little do a bit.
Sorry.
It might be a little bit of a different situation because it is when you live together. Because now you're sharing the household, everything. You know what I'm saying? So. Mm-hmm. That she didn't say.
Okay, well, if you are, good luck. If you're not, great decision. Don't listen to me.
I was about to say, she's going off of her experience, so.
I'm coming around. I'm coming around slowly, okay?
But anyway, I hope that helped a little bit. I know we kind of went off a little bit, but still, it's all part of the same thing. So I bid you all. Love and light and light.
Did you know the sky is blue because it reflects off the ocean?
The lioness is the hunter.
The sun is the largest star.
Crystals form in earth.
Dogs can smell cancer.
Newborns don't shed tears.
Naps could save your life.
Grapes light on fire in the microwave.
Lobsters have clear blood.
Potato chips cause the most weight gain.
Did you know? Did you know goosebumps are caused by miniature muscles? Goosebumps are a physiological phenomenon inherited from our animal ancestors, which was useful to them, but are not of much help to us. Goosebumps are tiny elevations of the skin that resemble the skin of poultry after the feathers have been plucked. Therefore, we could as well call them turkey bumps or duck bumps. These bumps are caused by a contraction of miniature muscles that are attached to each hair. Each contracting muscle creates a shadow depression on the skin's surface, which causes the surrounding area to protrude. The contraction also causes the hair to stand up whenever the body feels cold. In animals with a thick hair coat, this rising of hair expands the layer of the air and serves as insulation. The thicker the hair layer, the more heat is retained. In people, this reaction is useless because we do not have a hair coat, but goosebumps persist nevertheless. In addition to cold, the hair will also stand up in many animals when they feel threatened, in a cat being attacked by a dog, for example. The elevated hair together with the arched back and the sideward position the animal often assumes makes the cat appear bigger in an attempt to make the dog back off. People also tend to experience goosebumps during emotional situations, such as walking down the aisle during their wedding, standing on a podium and listening to a national anthem after winning in sports, or even just watching horror movies on a television. Quite often, a person may get goosebumps many years after a significant event just by thinking about the emotions she once experienced. Perhaps while listening to the romantic song to which she danced many years ago with the love of her life. The reason for all these responses is the subconscious release of the stress hormone called adrenaline. Adrenaline, which in humans is produced in two small bean-like glands that sit atop the kidneys. Not only causes the contraction of skin muscles, but also influences many other body reactions. In animals, this hormone is released when the animal is cold or facing a stressful situation, preparing the animal for fight or flight reaction. In humans, adrenaline is often released when we feel cold or afraid, but also if we are under stress and feel strong emotion, such as anger or excitement. Other signs of adrenaline release include tears, sweaty palms, trembling hands, an increase in blood pressure, a racing heart, or the feeling of butterflies in the stomach. Did you know?
Did you know?
With Marcy.
Peace, peace, everybody. Welcome to this week's Metaphysics with Marcy.
Now she's singing.
That was not singing. That was not singing.
Uh-huh. You had a tune there.
Mm-mm, I can't sing. I cannot sing at all.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
So this week we are going to discuss vision boards. So, what are vision boards? Tracy, what's a vision board?
A vision board is basically what you want to happen in your life. Mm-hmm. So you grab different photos and sayings and stuff like that. You paste them on a board. You can frame it if you want because it's cute like that. Mm-hmm. But you paste them on a board as to what you want to happen in your life.
She's right. I mean, it's almost like, did you look at my iPad? Because a vision board is a collage of images, pictures, and affirmations of one's dreams and desires designed to serve as a source of inspiration, as it basically relates to your life's direction or a basic need or attribute that you want to attain or be better at. Mm. So maybe you want to be a more successful business person or a better people leader, better at public speaking, or just something you want to manifest for your life. Like I want to live in Malibu. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately where, on the beach, beachside, looking at the sunset, broad beach lane, but I digress. It's actually been scientifically proven that thinking about a goal is just as important as doing an action towards a goal. So going through the process of creating a vision and displaying it where you can see it and think about it every day will help speed you on your way to attain it. So I believe you need a starting point to be able to see it, to achieve it. Because I believe that if you can envision something in your mind, you absolutely can achieve it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's something that you feel is the loftiest idea, like I want to be a millionaire by, you know, whatever age. Mm-hmm. You can achieve it as long as what you're saying makes sense. Like, you know, you can't say tomorrow. You know, I mean, it could happen tomorrow. The likelihood of it happening tomorrow, and there's been no work put into it other than the lottery, it most likely would not happen. So remembering that our thoughts are energetic pulses that go out into the universe, and then the universe conspires to put those things that we are putting out, it wants to put them on the path. So an example of that may be a relationship, since we were just talking about a relationship. You keep visualizing yourself with this person, traveling, doing things. You're working on yourself so that you'll be ready for this person when he or she comes onto your path. So therefore, your vibration is raising. It's raising. It's raising. The universe conspires to put this person on your path, whether it be through a friend or a friend of a friend, or bumping into them at the grocery store or the park. But it's all happening because of the vibrations that you're putting out. Mm-hmm. And you're actually putting works behind it to make it happen. So a vision board will help bring this to life. Because like I said, if you're seeing it every day, subconsciously you're focusing on it and you're going to bring it to fruition. It'll happen for you eventually. So the actual act of making a vision board, it really helps us to identify and clarify our goals, basically, because you're putting on this board, as Tracy said, things that you want to attain, things that you could look at, that you could frame, that you could see every dang day. Like I just said, I want to live in Malibu. So my vision board right now, which actually is not complete, but there's a beachside picture because ultimately that's where I want to be. It's not hanging, which is why it hasn't happened yet, because I haven't put it up to look at it. So let's jump into how do we create a vision board. So there's really no rules when it comes to creating a vision board, because it's something about crafting something from you that you're inspired by, that you want to happen. So you can't really say, oh, Tracy, you can't put that on your vision board, because who am I to tell her what she's envisioning, what she wants for her life? Mm-hmm. Just like you for anybody else. Even if Tracy wants to drive, what's that little, remember the little smart car? The little two-seater smart car? It was literally like 5 feet long, and
it wasn't just called a smart car?
It was called a smart car.
Yeah.
If Tracy put that on her vision board, I might talk trash. Like, why you want this little car, Tracy? But she wants that car for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. She wants a car. And who am I to judge, even though I'm going to? Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't be. Because that's what she wants. So
I don't really want that kind of car. I want a Bentley coupe. That's what I want, the Bentley coupe.
I just came to my mind. I know, but I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
So when you are creating a vision board, there's a few materials you're going to need. So I'm going to pause for a quick second and let you guys get your pens and your papers out, or get your phone so you could jot this down. So me and Tracy going to give you a beat while you wait. Okay, you got your pen and your paper or your phone to jot this down. Okay, so you need a poster board. You need some magazines or newspapers or something like that. Additional images, words, artwork, old books, or you can even print stuff down from the internet, because mm-hmm. I don't know how many people have magazines anymore. You know, a lot of people,
I
get the Food Network just mm-hmm. for like the recipes mm-hmm, and stuff, mm-hmm. but what can I find in the Food Network magazine?
But you know what? I get Westways mm-hmm. from, I think it's AAA. Mm-hmm. And they have travel stuff. So that's like true. You can use that. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Then you're going to need some scissors to cut out the pictures, mm-hmm. Glue sticks, paper and pen, and then art supplies like Sharpies, paint, glitter, or sequins, if you so choose. Mm-hmm. So this is the general process that I use. But so take what you want from these instructions, and then you ad lib the rest and make it your own process. So I'm going to tell you guys, I don't go out to like Michael's or Joann's to get the stuff. I go to the Dollar
Hello.
Tree. Or the 99-cent store.
Hello.
Because you can get like two poster boards for a dollar.
Yeah, or 50. Well, it must have gone up. But I know before you can get it for 50 cents.
Oh, okay. You want two for a dollar?
No.
Oh, two for 50 cents?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. The ones I just got were two for a dollar.
Okay, I think everything went up though. But yeah.
And it's not a dollar. Actually, it was $1.25.
Oh, yes, that's right. $1.25
over there now, so... yeah, don't waste your money and spending all this money. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's what you want to do, but if you...
It's not necessary.
It's really not. Even if you don't get a poster board, just get some paper, mm-hmm. you know, and just put it on there. So let's get into this process. So first, set goals and prioritize. Sit down with the paper and pen and think about your goals for the coming year. What do you want for yourself in the next coming year? Mm-hmm. So this initial step is just my big idea, and it includes everything from big goals and dreams, like writing a book, because I have this book I've been in the process of writing for like 7 years. It's called Mama Said, mm-hmm. and it's a bunch of sayings that my mom has told me over the years, mm-hmm. and I have all the sayings written down. I just haven't gone to publish it. Mm. So every year I put this on my vision board because I want to get it done before she transitions, which she's not transitioning anytime soon, but mm-hmm. I still want her to see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like I said, the biggest goals, like I said, the book, to the smallest, I just want to get up at 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, and put it on your board. So then after you write down everything you want to do, review it and figure out what your priorities are and either circle them or create a new list. What are the things you really, 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 really want to happen above all else? Like, really, what do you want for yourself? And it's funny, one of the girls in my meditation group, we normally do it every year. When we would meet in person, we would do our vision boards for the year, usually sometime in January. And one of the girls, she had told me, this was last year or the year before. I think it was the year before because I don't think we did one last year. She told me of all the stuff she had put on there, she'd put like 15 items. She had manifested 9.
That's good.
Yeah. And it was like inadvertent. And I was like, no, it was definitely not inadvertent because you put it on there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible. Mm-hmm. So your second thing, guys. Find images and words for your vision board. So now it's time to search the magazines, the newspapers, the internet, and cut out images and words that embody your goals or just speak to you. This is my favorite part. Actually finding the pictures, thumbing through stuff. Even if you find, like I said, I have a cooking magazine. Mm-hmm. And it might say something about food, you know, like, I don't know, a sentence about food, mm-hmm. but there might be one word in that sentence
that,
like,
yeah,
that resonates with you, like power or something, mm-hmm. you know, like make yourself a powerful breakfast this morning with right. da, da, da. Right. But you could just cut out the word power because yeah. you want to have power in whatever you do. Mm-hmm. You could take that and then you could take another word from here and another word from there and put them together and make it whatever you want it to be. There's no rules, you guys. There are no rules. And I usually will cut out way more than I need or that even goes on my vision board. Also, let me not forget, if there's a goal or intention that I cannot find a good image for, I would just write it. I have Sharpies, but even if you don't have Sharpies, just take a pen and just write it down, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It does not have to actually be pictures or words. It could just be words that you write mm-hmm. with your own handwriting. Mm-hmm. Usually my finished boards include a mix of magazine images, a couple pictures that I print from the internet, not too many of those because normally I can find everything in a magazine, and then words that I like, I'll get like stickers or something and I'll use the letters from the stickers and write out something or something like that. So now the third step, it's time to put the board together. Let's assemble the board. So with your poster board in front of you or your paper or whatever you're using, pile your images in front of you and then just decide where you want them placed at. Some people will group them by certain things. Like if, let's say they want to get fit, right? Mm-hmm. So in this corner of the board, the top right part of their board, there might be like a flat stomach or, you know, somebody's toned legs mm-hmm. or, and they'll put all of those together. I am not one of those people. I just put whatever, wherever it mm-hmm. goes, however I feel. I'm gonna put the legs over here and I'm gonna put this flat stomach over here because it's all the same thing. I want this. It doesn't matter if it's grouped or not. Some people are OCD like that mm-hmm. and they want it mm-hmm. So what about you, Tracy? How do you group yours in a certain way?
It sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It just depends like how I'm feeling. Like I remember one time when I did a vision board, there was a section of the board excuse me, where it was all about a house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't even know what happened to that vision board. But it was all about a house and like all that kind of stuff. And it was down in the corner and then everything else was all over the place. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I did it that way, but mm-hmm. that's just how it came out. Yeah. So it depends for me. Mm-hmm. It depends.
And do you remember when we did this at work?
Yes.
I was so excited. I brought this idea to our leadership team and I was like, you know, this is what we do and it just helps to start the year off. Mm-hmm. And they were so supportive. They were like, this is a good idea. I even think they participated.
They did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone had a great time.
Yeah, they did. That's what I was thinking about before as you were talking. I was like, we did this at work. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
People were so excited.
They really were. But I remember some people had piles of magazines in front of them. Remember, we were like, how you just take all the magazines and there's like 20, 25 of us and we're exactly. all sitting there with one and this person had like 12 or 13, yeah. but I'm digressing again. Sorry. So the next step is glue everything together. So now that you've got your arrangement, how you want everything to go, take that glue stick, pop that cap off and just start to gluing. Mm-hmm. Work with one image at a time, one word at a time, turn it over, apply a layer of glue with the glue stick and then stick it on your poster board. And then, you know, try to rub it out so that it's not all curly yeah. and bubbles. Yeah. And you want it to look nice.
Yeah.
Because like Tracy said, you may want to frame it mm-hmm. or put it up in your house where people can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So one more thing we're going to do is embed. embellish. This is another optional step, but it's a creative way to finish up your vision board. Add your own words, doodles, sketches, collaged images with Sharpies, glitter, lace, ribbon, whatever you want. Just make it look however you want. There's no wrong way.
Right.
And then lastly, display your board. So once it's complete, hang it on a wall where you'll see it regularly, like your office, bedroom, living room. It's important to create a vision board, but equally see it regularly. Like, you don't want it hidden behind a door. Like, you know, you're not going to see it.
And a lot of people are embarrassed for some reason to hang their vision boards for other people to see. And they, like, if somebody comes over, they hide. Now, I've heard it. I've seen, like, you know, I don't want people to see this, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
Because I have to say, at one point, that was me, where it's like, I don't want people to see, because it was hanging on my my closet door. Mm-hmm. And so when people would come over, not too many people go in my bedroom anyway, because I don't allow that. Mm-hmm. But I would, like, take it down. And I'm like, why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this was years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, I was like, I don't care if they see that. This is what I want to come to my, you know.
Yeah, so this is what you are trying to manifest into your life.
Yeah.
And let me tell you guys, it actually works. I am a person, I keep them up on my wall. I do have one behind my door now that I think about it. But the only reason why it's behind the door is because I didn't have any other wall space. Mm. So it's there. I see it in the mornings because my pajamas are hanging on. So my closet door is what's covering that wall, because I keep my closet door open. And my pajamas, I hang on the hook behind the door. So every day when I get my pajamas, or every night rather, I'll say, or in the morning when I put them back, I'll see it. And I look at it and then I'll be like, why is this behind the door every morning? And then I'll remember, you don't have any other wall space. So yeah, display them. I think I might, this one that I'm trying to do right now, I think I might get a frame and find somewhere for it to go. And then every year, that will be my place for my vision board. Yeah,
so you can, like, look at it all the time.
Yeah, because there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You're trying to manifest something for yourself. And like I said earlier, if you see it, you can achieve it. And these are just some simple things you can do just by making a vision board. It actually lifts your vibration, like we were talking about at work. At first, I thought people were going to think, oh, this is one of Marcy's weirdo things again, because, you know, I brought meditation to work and now I'm bringing vision boards. The meditation they loved and the vision boards they loved even more. So, you know, if this is something you could also do in work, if you want to have a team idea, in fact, I might bring this up to my leadership just to see if this is something they'd be interested in doing, like have everybody get their own. And we work from home, so it's hard to do it, but
no, and it actually, you can do it on a Zoom too, like everybody's doing theirs, and then you guys can, if you want to show, you can show it, you know.
And that's another thing I was going to add too. I like the actual old school poster board, cutting stuff out. But they have apps now where you can create vision boards, and I downloaded one the other day and I was like, this is different. I didn't really too much care for it because you could paste stuff on the board and then it allowed you to download it so that you could take a screenshot of it and put it like on your phone. So you look at it every day, which is an idea.
It is an idea, but I like the old school way better too.
Yeah, I like having it in my home where I'm actually physically taking my time to cut stuff out or download stuff off the internet.
Yes.
Paste it, write stuff down, embellish with glitter or stickers or whatever you choose. It's just more personal, I guess, you know, for me. But no judgment if you choose to download one of these apps. Off the top of my head, I cannot tell you what the app is, but we definitely will post it on our social media so you guys can see it. And I'm sure other than this one, there's tons of them out there. So, yeah, that's really all I had as far as the vision board. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, it's like when you're doing your vision board, it's like as you're doing it, set your intentions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like with the words that you're using and the photos that you're putting on there and all that kind of stuff. So that's, you're putting that energy in it as well.
Yeah. And I would add to piggyback off what she says. I don't like doing anything out of vanity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I say I want to live in Malibu, it's not because, oh, I want a $1 million home. I just like the vibe of the beach.
Right.
And it's, the ocean, yes, and hearing the waves. So you can want something, but it doesn't have to be in a vain way. Like, oh, because I know I'm going to look good poolside. No. I like the ocean.
Right.
I like the vibe of hearing the ocean 24/7. I like at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's pitch black. You can't see anything but passing boats or ships,
right,
or whatever.
And you hear the water just.
That's it. That's it. And yeah. I know most likely nobody gonna rob me from that side because unless it's a mermaid or something, Aquaman, something. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel safe by the ocean for some reason.
Yeah. It's very calming. The ocean, like being around the beach, there is a different vibe. Everybody has to know that.
Yes.
There's like a, just the people, everything, the vibe is so different.
It really is. And so, I love that vibe.
It is a nice vibe. It is a nice vibe there. And I have a friend that lives in Malibu on the beach. He has a house there, him and his wife. So it's, I know he loves it too.
The app I was talking about is called Dreamer Vision Board.
Okay.
So it's okay. It's cool if that's how you want to do it. Because a lot of people are so into techie, yes, stuff and, yes, electronics and everything. That's cool. That's cool because you're still, your intention is there.
Yeah.
You know, I just personally like having.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm that old school.
Me too. Me too. So that's all I have for you guys this week. I appreciate you listening and I will see you next week. Peace.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
You got your glass of wine?
I do. You have yours?
Yes. Are you ready?
Ready for what?
A social conversation.
Let's do it. Okay. So on this week's social conversations, y'all. Okay, so on Facebook, I follow this group. The group is called, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm looking it up right now. It's called the Convo L&E, right?
Oh, yeah, I follow them too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they have conversations in there, and I honestly, I'm going to keep it real. I follow it for social conversations because I want to see what you guys think about some of the stuff that people in the world are actually talking about.
Yeah.
Same thing for you, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So this one, I didn't want to read you guys the whole thing because it was kind of long, but I'll just give you guys a snippet of what it was about. Long story short, a woman was married to her man, I think it was like 15 or 16 years. They wanted to have children.
Mm-hmm.
She was unable to have children. Let me tell you what this brother did. He cheated on her with her sister, got her pregnant, divorced her, and then would see her at social gatherings, like family gatherings, holidays and stuff like that, with the baby. And so the family was like, why don't you come around? They didn't understand her not wanting to be, mm-hmm, around that. She's seeing social media posts where he's posting, I love my wife. She, the sisters, I love my husband. I love my life. I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to our listeners, how was she supposed to respond? Was she wrong for distancing herself from the family gatherings? Should she still, you know, because a parent, you want to see your children no matter the age,
right,
50, 60, 70, right, 80, it doesn't matter. You want to see your children.
Right.
So, and that was one of the things I don't think I mentioned, because one of the comments in it was saying the mom was upset because the first wife, she wasn't coming around anymore. And the mom was saying, you know, you guys are getting older. I'm not getting to see you. And so she posed her question from a place of, am I wrong? Because my mom's innocent in this. My dad's innocent,
right,
in this.
Right, right, right.
So am I supposed to not see them? You know,
like during, your, like, you're, like during
holidays
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what it is, is that sometimes you need to take some time for yourself to get used to that situation, because that must have hurt her.
Heck yeah.
Deep. Because it's, first of all, it's your family member that he went to and she got pregnant. So that child is your niece or nephew.
And you can't even have children.
And you can't have children unless, you know, maybe it was just not meant to have kids with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. But the thing about it is I understand her taking time to like disconnect. I do. That's hard with the holidays though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that means that if she's asking, am I wrong? I don't think she's wrong completely, but I think that she should work on getting over that so that she can be around her family and see her mom and dad during these holidays. You know what I mean? I know it's hard.
How do you get around that, Tracy? Like, you've been with somebody 15, 16 years. You guys have been trying for 15, 16 years. And of all the heifers in the world,
he went to your sister.
And your sister accepted him. So, me personally,
that would be super. To be honest with you, Merce, I don't. Yes. Just what Marcy was doing, like, woosah.
I'm getting woosah, mad.
Because I know that I would probably not be able to speak to them.
Yeah.
And then I know it's not the kids' fault.
Right.
So it's like, it would just be very, very hard. It would be very hard. And I know that you want to take that part out of it so that, you know, that's a hard situation. I'm sorry.
But at the same time, it's like your parents are the innocent bystanders. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So they, regardless of the sister being wrong, that's still their child.
Well, maybe if they did it like this, maybe when the sister and the husband come with the kid, they come at a certain time. And then, you know, while the family is there, the other part of the family is there, you come later on so that you're not interacting with. But I know that maybe, you know, the mom and dad want them together, and maybe the mom and dad want them to resolve it. But they got to understand where that other daughter is coming from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they can share it, but one person would have to not be there. And the sister and the husband, what if the universe, that's where that was supposed to happen anyway, right? And that's why that happened that way. But what am I supposed to learn being the sister, and what am I supposed to do in that situation? What is there you want me to see, universe? Where am I supposed to grow on this?
See, okay, advocate, devil's advocate, because yes, that could be, but how do you hurt your sister like that and that's supposed to happen? You see what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying, but that's
what I also see what you're saying.
Right, and I understand what you're saying, so it's kind of hard. And it's like, it's harder on the sister that it happened to because she's by herself.
Yeah.
And she's dealing with this internally. And when she sees them on social media, she has to continue to process that all the time.
Now, see, for me, the social media would be easy because I would just delete both of them.
But for some reason, it sounds like she sees it somehow.
She must still follow them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's... Maybe
or friends are telling her or something like that. Yeah.
And every time that happens, you have to reprocess that whole situation again. So that's going to keep you in that low vibrational mode. That's where that's why I understand the disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways around the family gatherings, I think.
So see, for me, speaking from a spiritual standpoint, as you stated, because I do love my parents I understand them wanting to have their children all around at the same time, I would just have to suck it up. I would have to just not deal with him and her. Hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And I would just have to, you know, be with my mom and dad. Hey, you know, if I have a brother, hey, or another sister or whomever, my focus is this part of the family. I don't even see you two.
Right.
I'm not going to be a jerk. I'm not going to talk crazy to you.
Right. I understand.
You know,
that.
Even if you guys are talking about, oh, we're so in love. We're so this, you know, and on top of that, I would expect my parents to get with the sister and tell her where she was wrong. And when she comes over here, I expect you to be cordial. I expect you to not be rubbing anything in her face. I expect you to be, you know, have some humility about
right,
you.
Right.
That's what I would expect from my parents.
Right.
I think my parents would actually do that.
Right.
If they wanted to see me.
Right.
You know.
Right. So. Because, yeah, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different things that you can do, but, man.
That's rough. And
it's super rough.
That's my sister, but it would be a totally different relationship. Like, I really wouldn't have any words.
Right.
For her.
Right. Especially because you know how hard it took. You know what I went through regarding trying to have a kid with my husband that I loved.
15, 16 years.
And then because he wanted a kid and I couldn't give it to him, now you broke up with me to be with my sister because that's what you want.
Too much.
They say in when they're giving vows, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, whatever, for better or for worse, let's say that. You dipped.
Yep. Straight up. You didn't even try to work it out.
You didn't. It's like you guys could have adopted. You guys maybe could have. I don't know if you guys tried in vitro. Who know? I don't know what they done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they could have adopted
There's
a kid.
Options.
And I know he wanted his surrogate. Seed. He surrogate. Wanted his. Yes. He could have had his. They could have did a surrogate with his
yeah.
seed.
Yeah. And her egg.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
So I don't. I'm sorry. I feel bad for that young lady. But somehow she does have to work it out some kind of way to be around the family.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, ooh. I saw that and I thought it was interesting. So I'm gonna post the whole question and we want to get you guys' feedback.
Yes, please.
We really want to know.
On the men's side too?
Yeah.
Because, you know, most women are gonna, we know kind of almost, but we want some men's opinions on this too.
And just before we close out, there must have been some part of him that was unhappy already.
I was going to say that too. I agree with that.
Yeah, for him to go to the sister.
Right.
You know.
But I think maybe the unhappiness part is the trying to have a child. Because it sounds like, from reading the whole thing, mm-hmm. it sounds like that's what he really wanted mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But they both really wanted it. But I think, you know,
he
I don't know.
He really wanted it, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was probably part of the unhappy. I don't know, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
well,
know.
That was a good conversation. I'm over here hot because I'm like, let my sister do something like that. Shoot.
Look at me. I'm all like, because I said shoot with her, but
yeah,
mouthing it. Yeah.
So that's all I have for you guys. I appreciate you. And we'll see you now next week. Social Conversations.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Peace.
Peace.
What's on your radar?
What's on my radar?
What's on your radar?
What's on my radar? What's on your radar?
What's on my radar?
What's on your radar?
What's on my radar?
What's on your radar, Trace?
What's on my radar is spending more time with family and friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes we get so caught up in our own lives and stuff, but getting together with the friends and stuff. And the reason why I'm saying that, you guys, is because we had such a good time mm-hmm. yesterday. Like, you know, it was so good for all of us. Mm-hmm. We're like, we got it. And we would always say, like, we got to do this more often. And we end up not doing it, but mm-hmm. we have to make an effort.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like once a month or something.
Yeah, I think that would be so cool. So that's what's on my radar. Spending more time with family and friends and the laughter, the deep conversations that you have mm-hmm. and the lifting up of, you know, the advice of things that's going on in your life. Just all of it. It's just a beautiful thing. So
it is.
What about you? What's on your radar?
What's on my radar is intermittent fasting. And I know we talked about this before, but y'all, your girl is booked and busy this summer, okay? Mm-hmm. Marcy's taking trips. So she's trying to get herself together.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Alabama for like a family reunion.
Fun.
And then I'm going to Colorado to see one of my best friends from when I was in high school. And then I have a wedding I'm also going to.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all ain't going to be talking about me. Ooh, Marcy got big.
You stupid.
So Marcy's going to get it. Not just for, you know, aesthetics.
Right.
I need to be healthy,
yeah.
too. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I'm joking, but I'm serious.
Yes. No, I understand.
But, you
I
know, really,
that.
First and foremost, it's for my health.
Right.
And, you know, intermittent fasting, I hear, is the way to do it.
Well, it worked before. It always
yeah,
works.
It worked for me before, too.
Yeah. So I get you.
Yeah. And so for those that don't know, intermittent fasting is where you choose a window of when you eat.
Mm-hmm.
However many hours. I choose an 8-hour window, 11 mm-hmm. to 7. And then from 7 to 11, I don't do anything but water. If I even do that. Because sometimes that makes me go to the bathroom, which then makes me hungry, which then I want to eat. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So But yeah, and it's supposed to, when you're in that, so what is that, 16-hour window, you're burning fat. As you sleep, as you're working, whatever you're doing in that 16-hour window, you're burning fat inadvertently. And then not only that, it's a discipline.
Yes.
It teaches you, because we really shouldn't be eating like right before we lay down.
Oh, heck no.
So if you stop bad. At a certain time, your food can digest properly.
Yes.
It exits the body, and then now your body goes into fat-burning mode because... You know, there's nothing else there for it to burn except your fat.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting started with that. I actually started today. So, as I said, my eating window is 11 to 7 and a girl is hungry right now.
So, with you saying that, I think I'm going to join you.
Let's do it.
I'll start tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
But...
I'll
start tomorrow and I'm going to join you. I don't know what my time frame is going to be. For some reason, 4 hours popped in my head. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of going to, like, I think I could do that.
You're only going to eat for 4 hours?
It's either going to be 4 or 6 hours. It's going to be a short window. Because I've started to realize, like, as the day goes on, I'm not really hungry, but I eat. You know what I'm saying? Through the, you know, towards the end, I'm like, well, why don't I just not do that? Mm-hmm. But I think me psychologically saying, okay, I'm not going to eat at this time, and then I'm going to start getting hungry. Mm-hmm. But I have to discipline myself because, look, my body's not hungry anyway. So, and then I can drink tea and, you know, and water.
They say, I don't know who they is, but it says not to drink anything that has like sugar in it.
Sugar in it, right.
So yeah.
Yeah. And aloe vera juice. You can have aloe vera juice because it has zero.
Yeah.
I've checked, you know, all that stuff. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do this.
Yes. We're going to do it. So I'm right there with you.
Cool. So that is what's on my radar. So what is our crystal of the week?
The crystal of the week is called opal.
Opal.
Now, opal, they have different kinds of opal. They have common opal, fire opal. It's just, you know, precious opal. They have different kinds. Mm-hmm. But opal, the color of opal could be white, yellow, pink, orange, red, blue, green, brown, black, gray, multicolored. You know, there's just all kinds of opal. The spirituality behind opal is psychic ability, spiritual awareness, foresight, prophecy, mystical visions. That's very funny because my birthstone, I forgot, it's a pink stone, but they also say it's opal. But I can't remember the name of the pink stone. Emotions connected to it is comfort, calming, fear, insecurity, happiness, soothing. And then the mental part of it is supporting stone, art, poetry, self-worth. And the physicality of it is saying, now this is interesting, it says fever, like evictions, memory, menstrual problems, puberty. Mm. It says poison, PMS. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's rare. Mm-hmm. It's a rare type of stone. But opal can be super expensive too.
Oh, let me tell you, I have a black opal.
Oh, and it's expensive?
It was expensive. In fact, this is the guy that accused me of stealing at the show.
Oh, I remember that.
And I didn't. I believe in karma, so I don't have to steal. And he was like, open your bag. And I was like,
I wasn't with you.
Oh, Marla was with me.
Yeah.
Marla was with me. And I was like, what? He was like, open your bag. And I was like, for what? And he was like, you put something in your bag. So I opened my bag and there was nothing there. And I ended up buying the opal. But I haven't bought anything from him since.
Now, I remember when we did go back to the show. I know this is sidebar, people, but bear with us. When we did go back to the show, I was with you and we ran into them and you told him about himself. Mm-hmm. And the wife was like, oh my God, you know, she apologized or something like that. But I think at the time they were saying that they were having a lot of thefts.
Yeah.
But don't just.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So opal is used for centuries and people associated this gemstone with many different traits. It is believed that the stone promotes security, calmness. It is great for easing stress and depression. It is great for calming restless thoughts and mind. Wearing the stone will help you sleep better. ward away bad dreams and nightmares. It is especially beneficial for children that have imaginary friends, mm-hmm. Or have troubles going to sleep. Mm. It says opal is one of the best stones of protection, being an amazing shield against negative energy and negative thoughts. It is said that this stone can provide you with the cloak and invisibility cloak. Mm-hmm. when you don't want to be seen or noticed. That's interesting.
Very.
I get what they're saying too. This gemstone resonates with the mother goddess energy and is considered to be the best gift for pregnant women. It is a great stone for emotional support, often associated with eroticism, passion, love. I go eroticism.
Eroticism.
Sorry, y'all. Passion, love, and burning desire. See, that's probably why that's my stone.
Okay.
Because
okay.
If y'all know me, the peoples out there listening, you understand why I said that.
She nasty.
Anywho, that is our crystal of the week.
Thank you for that. TMI at the end.
No.
And so I guess that's it for our crystal of the week.
Yes, it is.
All right.
So you guys, now you know, we added a vibe of the week. So the vibe of the week is being true to yourself. Okay. Being true to yourself to me is like choosing you, mm-hmm. learning how to say no, being self-aware, and do things that you like. You know what I mean? Like, there's like earlier when you were talking about Tracy will be like, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, mm-hmm. I'll let you know, basically. Mm-hmm. That's being true to myself, because in that moment, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. If that's what I'm going to want to do. Because sometimes in that moment, you may be going through something mm-hmm. and you feel like, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's in that moment, though. Mm-hmm. But later on down the line, like a week later when it's time to go, you're like, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Right.
So, you know, that's being true to yourself. You know, spending the day with you, like having your own personal days, doing mm-hmm. what you want to do.
You time.
You know what I'm saying? Trust your guidance and your intuition. That's being true to yourself, because we've talked about that many times, mm-hmm. you know, like trusting that. But you know, you have to kind of learn to trust that, because a lot of people have asked, what's the difference? You can really tell. You can tell by the way you feel.
Absolutely.
You know? Also, being true to yourself is being open-minded to learn new things. Mm-hmm. But don't compromise your beliefs or, you know, what you don't do that. But be open.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you're going to learn, you know. And that's why it's so beautiful living in a country where they call the melting pot, mm-hmm. because you have so many different varieties of people and they do different things, like, you know, the way they are raised. And it's like being open to eating different foods, mm-hmm. Learning their, you know, they call it culture, learning their culture, their ways and stuff. And it's like, that's why I love having a variety of different types of friends, mm-hmm. because you learn so much. So that's, you know, that's being true to yourself. Stop trying to please others too.
Yep, that part.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes you will put yourself before somebody else and then you lose you.
Yep, 100% of the time.
You know, so also I say this too, expressing to your partner and friends and family members, etc., how if something they said or did affected you, and, you know, because if you hold that in for too long, now I know sometimes you may not want to say it in that particular moment because you don't want it to come off you know, so hard, but don't hold on to it so long that down the road it comes out like dragon fire. Right. And then everything is like all over the place and it's not a good situation at that point.
Right.
But, you know, learn to like express yourself, because mm-hmm. that's part of being true to yourself, is expressing yourself in a positive way, though, in a positive way. So that's why I say take time, you know, sit back and stuff. And also be honest with yourself mm-hmm. about things. You know what I mean? So that's what I have in regards to, I mean, I know there's so much in regards to that of being true to yourself, but there's a few things I wanted to say to you guys about that. So I do appreciate you guys listening to me talking about being true to yourself. So that's our vibe for the week.
Thank you, Tracy girl. So with that, we have concluded another episode.
Yes, ma'am.
We want to thank you all for tuning in each and every week and listening to us. And as always, you all can reach out to us on our social medias. Mm-hmm. First, Facebook, A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast. Also on YouTube, A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast. As well as our email, A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast @gmail.com. You can also reach us on our Instagram. That's just A Libra and a Gemini. And you also can reach out to me and listen to our meditation, my meditations, on the Insight Timer app. My name is Marcy James. You can join my weekly meditation group. It's called Meditation with Marcy. Mm-hmm. Did I miss anything? Lastly, you can reach out to us and you can buy something too. on our Libra and a Gemini shared jewelry store. The web address is ALGthestore.com. Tracy sells her beautiful items under the Libra umbrella, and I sell my beautiful items under the Gemini umbrella. And we also have some shared items under A Libra and a Gemini on that same website. That, yeah. Again, you guys, is ALGthestore.com.
Now, you guys know Mother's Day is coming up.
Sure is.
So check out our pieces. You, yeah. You know, that would be a nice gift for your and mom, your aunt. Yes, they are. So, yeah.
Check us out, you guys. And as always, we appreciate you listening. Yes. We love each and every one of our listeners. Yes. And we will see you all next week.
Stay free, y'all. Stay in love. Stay free.
Peace.
We're a Libra and a Gemini.